Genesis chapter 5, I want to talk a little bit about some people this evening who made an abrupt change. Genesis chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch here in this story, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now the world looks at this time of the year and say, this is the time that we make a change. This is the time when we make a resolution. This is a time when you look at your life and you look at what happened last year and you say, I don't want to repeat that again. But some of the times the greatest changes that happen in our life, the greatest times when we make a change, aren't when we schedule it. Some of those changes happens because a tragedy happens. We lose a loved one. Maybe somebody gets paralyzed. And our lives are forever changed. Sometimes they're planned. We plan not to have an accident or anything, but we plan to make a change. That would be like a New Year's, or sometimes just, you know, after this time, we're going to start this. We're going to change this. Some of these happen by accident. Something just, if you will, we use the term, falls in our lap. But some of the greatest changes that God ever has happen in an instant and not always as planned. Now, here, Enoch had 9 months to prepare for this change. But the Bible says that that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, the truth is, as I go back and look in the Hebrew, I don't know what that word after means. Some people have said that this could possibly mean as he did before. Most of the people look at this phrase, this verse, and they say this is where it begins, or hereafter. Beginning now, Enoch began to walk with God. I don't know what Enoch's life was like before Methuselah was born, but for 65 years of his life, he's gone through and lived his life the way he had every year after that, adding a little bit more wisdom, I hope, every year, adding a little bit more things to his experiences of life. But when he was 65 years old, a bouncing baby boy came along and it changed his life, because at this point, he began to walk with God. He set aside a time, he set aside his life, he set aside a part, and it became his life that he walked with God. So much so, I've heard it said that he just walked right into heaven. He was not, for God took him. I long to be that close walking with God. What a change happened in Enoch's life. I can't imagine his wife isn't mentioned. He says he has other sons and daughters. He begat sons and daughters after this. But if you'll notice this, that he lived 65 years before Methuselah, and after he begat Methuselah, he lived 300 years. So for 300 years afterwards, he had the testimony that he walked with God. The birth of a little baby changed his walk. It altered it. I don't think you'd call this a tragedy. You might call this an accident. You might call this a planned event. I don't know. But his life forever changed. I want you to go to the New Testament, the book of Philippians. I want to talk about another man in the Bible who went through a alter or a change in his life. But while you're turning there, I want you to think for a minute of the events of your life. How has your life changed? Most of the time, the things that we plan for, the things that we lay out to do, the things that we have experienced and that we've written out on paper, the things that we're going to change at this point, most of the time, those come and go and that change never lasts. Most of the time, those altercations in our life, those things that we want to alter and change, most of the time, when that time comes for us to have made that change, it goes and we don't really meet up to our expectations. Those tragedies, though, when we look back, and we say, that changed my life. That accident, it just changed from that point on. The way I looked at life changed it. In the book of Philippians, we find Paul. Now, Paul didn't have the birth of a baby, but he had a second birth that totally changed his life. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Paul was a devout man, we know. His name was Saul at the time. He was a devout man. He was a man who was very, very faithful and very prestigious, very looked up to in the Jewish society. In Romans, or Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, in all the law, blameless. He was going through his life, and he had everything that a Jewish man would want. When you looked at him, when the Jews looked at him, that was what they wanted to become. Everything in life for him was perfect. It was laid out. He had everything. Now you say of the tribe of Benjamin, I remember in college we had one preacher who pulled this out, that Benjamin was the favorite son. One of the favorite sons, the youngest, the least of the tribes, but he was one of his father's favorites. And you get over here to Paul, and Paul becomes one of the men that God uses the most in life. Someone you would think the least about as being a spiritual leader, someone you would look at and say, yeah, he's a leader, but he's leading the Pharisees. He's not leading the church. And all of a sudden, something happens in his life, and it's not a tragedy, and it's not the birth of a baby, but it's a second birth that happens in his life. On the road to Damascus, if you remember, he's walking there, and the light knocks him off the horse, and God says to him, Paul, Paul, why do you yourself persecute me myself? It was a very personal thing if you go back and look at it. Paul or, and God says to him, he says, you yourself are persecuting me myself. You're not persecuting the church. You're persecuting me. And it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to go through life and to do all these things that you think are perfect. But when you stop and realize it, there's nothing in this world that's worth anything that you're doing. You're persecuting the church. You're persecuting me. And Paul's life takes a big turn in verse 7. He says, but. Look at my life. It's everything's lined up. It's everything's going just as planned. I'm a prime example of what a Jew should be. But, verse 7, these things were gained to me. Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may comprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When this transformation happened in his life, it wasn't a, well, let's see here. I think I ate something too much this last couple weeks, and I'm gonna diet after the holidays. It wasn't a, I think I spent a little too much. I think I mouthed off to the wrong person over the week, over the holidays. My family got into a big tizzy. It wasn't any of that. It was, I am going to totally change the direction of my life that I may know him. I don't know if you're one to make New Year's resolutions. I personally, growing up, I always was amazed by it. Just like how I started this evening, people make the same resolution. This young person who, or older person, I don't know who it was, who made these resolutions starting in 2011 and going on. Every year it became less and less, but none of them they attained. Well, I take that back. This year they might. They might be able to drive by the gym once a week. I don't want that in my life. I want to change. I don't want a resolution to lose some, although it would probably help me. A resolution to fix our finances, become more socially acceptable, whatever that is. Paul says, I'm making a change that I may know him. Everything else becomes clutter in my life. Everything else becomes but a pile of refuse that I may know him. To him, he had never known that before. The only way he knew God was by persecuting him, either taking his name in vain, watching the Christians mocking them, persecuting them, beating them, calling upon them to curse the God that he cursed. I trust no one in this room is in that state tonight. I know this is our faithful Wednesday night crowd. But I do guarantee that every one of us know him better. None of us have reached. Paul says, if you want to look at my credentials, that's fine. But he says this, I haven't attained to anything. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God. I was looking today. I don't know if any of you remember the Apollo 13 mission. In Apollo 13, they were planning on, I don't know, off the top of my head, I can't remember, and I didn't write it down. They're planning on landing on one of the moons. And when they got up into outer space, if you remember, one of their tanks exploded, puncturing the other tank. And it became a huge, we've probably all heard the phrase, Houston, we have a problem. That's where that phrase comes from in Apollo 13. And it became a life and death situation. They were running out of oxygen. They were running out of power. And every decision that they were making was a decision that they were basing on one thing. Are we going to have enough power to enter the trajectory of the earth so that we don't burn up? And to them, every decision that they made was, is this absolutely necessary? I don't like it cold, but I'd rather be cold now and survive the entrance to the earth rather than keeping it at comfortable degrees inside the capsule. And as they shut down power and as they shut down everything that they didn't absolutely have to live to save for one thing, and that was to re-enter Earth. All of their incidentals truly became incidentals. Why? Because they had one goal. One thing that was driving them. They wanted to live. And all of Houston on their computers at that time, their big computers at that time, were trying to figure out a way to conserve every minute, tiny ounce of energy. I know energy is not measured in ounces, but every single sliver of energy to save. Paul says that I may know him. Everything else is refuse. Everything else is an incidental. Everything else is a comfort. Verse 14, I'm pressing toward the mark. In Romans, he talks about setting aside those weights that does so easily beset us. I know I live here in the world. You have to have money to live. You have to have food to live. You have to have clothing. You have to have certain things of life. But when that becomes our resolution, our New Year's resolution, our time to change, we might need a tragedy. We might need a sudden event. We don't need another sun going down and sun coming up, and woohoo, it's 2017. We need a life-changing event. That might not be a second birth, but that might be a second look at the old book. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, looking back at my life, setting all that aside, looking at my current life situation, setting all this aside, and that's where I want to get to, that I may know him. What a difference our lives would be if our resolutions revolved around this. This last year, our church theme was impact. What impact did I have? What impact did you have this last year? Let me ask it this way. What impacted your life? What was it that changed it and altered it? Let's not go through another year of the mundane, same old, same old. Why don't we make this year be the year that we get to know him? I don't mean it's life and death. It's not Apollo 13 critical for us. But I will tell you this. It is life and death, Apollo 13 critical for someone in our life. And when they look at us, do they say, yeah, they're just another Christian? Or do they say there's something different about them? Enoch and Paul both begin at a time Though through different circumstances, they set a new course for their lives. One was the birth of a baby. The other was the second birth. What is it that will change our life? A song I asked Brother Mike, it's not in our hymn books, but a song that is in our old hymn books that we used to sing, I Am Resolved. And it goes like this. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. And verse 5 says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. In the refrain, the chorus goes, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I don't know if you're one to make resolutions. I don't know if you already have them or if you don't plan on making them. But our spiritual life needs one. We have a new year, a new start, a new change. I can't think of a better time to make one than now. I can't think of a better time to make a change. Let's plan it before a tragedy makes us. Let's plan it before an accident makes us. Let's schedule it and follow through with it. Not just resolving that this change is going to last for at least a week. Let's let it last until we see him face to face. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. How about you this evening? How about me? Could it be said of us? Could we say it ourselves? I set all aside because I'm pressing to the mark. Or are we flipping on all those power switches because it makes it more comfortable? I know if I do all this, I'll never reach my goal, but it's kind of cold in here. I want a hot meal. I want to turn the light on. I want to read. I want my own comfort. Realizing that when we go back to enter into our heavenly home, we won't be what we should be. I'm sorry, but our Christian life is at an Apollo 13 critical point. I am resolved no longer to linger, no longer to dwell, not just in 2016, but resolve to change where I'm at to where he wants me to be. I'm not going to have an invitation. I'll ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. We'll have just a moment. God desires more of us and more for us and more from us than we're ever willing to admit. I guarantee if any one of us and every one of us sat down, we would say there's things that we did this last year that we wish we could change. I don't mean eating too much. I don't mean spending too much. I mean in our spiritual life. If we don't make a change will repeat our own history. All those things I count but dung. There's a song in our hymnal. I think it's 407, I think. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Dear Heavenly Father, as we close out 2016, as we retrain ourselves to write 2017 in the dateline, God, may it not just be the change from one day to another. May it not just be a change from one year to another. May it be a time when we make a resolve, a resolution, an altercation in our life to alter to the most important things, setting aside incidentals, insignificant, trivial pleasures. Not that we don't need time off and time to relax and time with our family, but may our drive be to know you, pressing toward the mark. God, I pray you'd help each one of us to change. In Jesus' name.